Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
We need to see that faith in God is practical, meaning this. When we apply biblical truth to our life, it is going to have real and measurable outcome. An outcome, a result that is good. As I said at our prayer, an outcome that blesses us. This is God's nature. God loves to bless, but those blessings are conditional. They are conditional upon us embracing God through faith, through that gospel message. They are conditional upon us to take hold of His instructions and apply them to our life. In other words, to demonstrate His authority over us in every word we say, every thought that we have, and every action we take. That's what we're called to do. And when we strive to do just that, God's presence is going to be with us. His help is going to be available to us. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit will position us and empower us to serve God. And when we are committed to serving Him, we're going to be amazed with how God will bless, assist, move in our situations, and provide what we need so that we can demonstrate faithfulness to Him. Take out your Bibles and look with me to the book of Proverbs and Proverbs chapter 10. Hopefully you'll know that we began this chapter last week. We did the first half approximately, and now we're ready for the second half. And we're going to begin in verse 16. And once more, we're going to find that these Proverbs are going to give us useful, practical information so that we can live a useful life to Almighty God and be a blessing to others. As I said, God is a blessed God. God's plan and purposes leads us to receive His blessings or to be used by Him to bless others. But it's only when we walk in wisdom and truth and understanding and knowledge, only then are we going to be able to serve Him and carry out His purposes. Look with me to verse 16 where it says, activity of righteous, meaning activity of that righteous one, is for life. So when we behave righteously, now the word here is the word tzaddik, which is a righteous individual. And a righteous individual behaves righteously. So when it speaks about activity, it's talking about righteous activity. And when we live righteously, it is for life, meaning this. It is going to impact our life. It is going to produce a quality of life that is going to be satisfying, that is going to produce a contentment in our life. It's not going to allow us to desire that which is beyond the purposes of God. In other words, it shelters us from being deceived by the enemy. But notice what he says in the second part of this verse. He uses a word for produce or yield. For example, you plant seeds in a field and they produce a yield, an outcome, a result. And he says here, the yield of the wicked is what? For sin. Now, it's telling us something very important. If we behave righteously, it is going to impact our life. We're going to have an abundant life. Now, I didn't say that we're going to have abundant wealth. We'll come to such a proverb later on. But what it says here is that we're going to know life, and I would say an abundant life. But when we practice wickedness, when we reject the instructions of God, the laws of God, the commandments of God, what is it going to bring forth? As it says here, the yield of wicked ones are what? The yield of the wicked is for sin. It produces sin. Look now to verse 17. He wants us to know life, and life is known through him and his word. He says in verse 17, the pathway for life is what? The pathway for life is keeping. And then we have that word that we've come across many times in the book of Proverbs, the word musar, which is ethics or moral or that which is proper. So the word musar, we can translate it as that which is moral or morality or ethics or that which is proper or fitting. But here's the key. Fitting and proper from the character of God, meaning it teaches us how we should behave in the character of God. It manifests to others that we are operating as God would have us to behave. So he says again, the pathway for life is keeping this morality, this ethics. And then it says, and the one who leaves. So a person who leaves morality and ethics. Notice what it says here. Such a one. And then it's talking about reproof. He leaves reproof. He leaves correction. He leaves discipline. The discipline that the word of God teaches us. So we find here that the one who travels keeping ethics and morality, he's on a pathway for life, but the one who leaves that pathway and departs from reproof. Now, what does it tell us? It tells us here that musar, ethics, and morality reprove us. What does that mean? Disciplines us, corrects us. When we use the standards of God, the standards of God that are moralistic, the standards of God which are ethical, and full of justice, when we use those as the benchmark for our behavior, for our thoughts, what's going to happen? Well, they are going to reprove us or discipline us or correct us. But the one who leaves that reproof, what happens? This one is going to err. This one's going to divert from the proper pathway. He won't be on that pathway of life. So when we leave or depart from that reproof that originates in the ethics and morality and the justice of the word of God and the commandments of God, when we depart from that, notice what happens. We're going to be led astray. We're going to be deceived. Verse 18. The subject here is hate. And it says here, hate covers, meaning hate covers up lips of falsehood. So when you hate, you're not going to have discernment. This is a huge principle that we need to understand. When I hate, and here again, there are certain things that we should hate. We should hate ungodliness. We should hate sin. We should hate those things that are against the standards of God. But when we simply hate and we hate the wrong things, meaning we are adverse to the things of God, what's the outcome of that? Well, hate is covering. When I have hate, it will cover up lying or false lips, meaning this. Hate in my heart, and again, we're talking about hate for the wrong thing, is going to conceal. It's going to make it so I cannot discern these lying lips. And again, what's the relationship? When you can't discern that these lips that you're listening to speak are lying to you, it is going to not have a good outcome. And that's why he says, and the one who finds slander is a fool. Now, what happens? Well, the one who hates, it's going to have an adverse effect in his life. He won't have discernment. He won't know that this one is being deceived. And what happens? Well, because of that, he's also going to find slander, meaning this. When you hate, you are going to be doing things that people will be able to speak adversely concerning you. Hate leads us in a perverse way. And that's why it says, the one who hates, he's also going to find slander, and that this one is foolish. It's going to expose his foolishness. So what can we conclude about this verse? When I operate in hate, hating the things I should not, and perhaps liking the things that I should not, when that's my demeanor, that's my character, it's going to cause me to be deceived, and it's going to cause me to behave foolishly. And it's going to set me up in a way that it's going to bring destruction to my reputation. So hate, when it's applied to the things of God, the standards of God, the morality of God, the justice of God, when we hate those things, it's going to produce a very negative outcome in our life. Look at verse 19. In the abundance of words, transgression will not cease. So what it says is this. When someone just speaks on and on, and what I mean by that is this. They are trying to convince you, and to convince you with many words. They want to explain something, and you can tell. They just keep talking and talking about this same thing. And what happens? The abundance of words do not bring about a ceasing of transgression. And likewise, we see something else. It says, and the one who restrains his lips is what? Wise. Now, this word wise is a word of prudence. It's a word that relates to success. So we need to realize that we should not be about just the abundance of words. We should not just deal with something over and over and over. What does Messiah say? Let your yes be yes, or your no, no. So simply, if someone is suggesting to you that you do something and it's not right, simply say no. When you multiply the words, when you try to explain and explain why that you don't want to do that, rather than just simply saying no, this abundance of words is going to work adversely in your life, and it will not cause you to stop the transgression. And likewise, the last part, we find that one who restrains his lips, he will act prudently. He will act with understanding. He will act in a way that is prosperous. Verse 20. We have kesef nivchar. What is that? Choice silver is the tongue of the righteous. But then he says, the heart of the wicked is as not, meaning this. It is very, and the word here, kim'at, is a word which means insufficient. Now, when we, and it goes right back to what we said in the previous verse. Look at verse 20. Choice silver is the tongue of the righteous. Why? Because he speaks that which is chosen, that which is precious. And again, the context is according to God. But the heart of the wicked is of naught, meaning this. He doesn't really think. Remember, heart is synonymous with thinking, as a man thinketh in his heart. So when an individual doesn't think through something, when they just talk about it rather than think thoroughly about it, what's going to happen? Well, exactly what he says in this verse. It will be as almost nothing, meaning this. There's not going to be anything good that's produced from when we don't give something the proper thought. What he's saying here is speak less and think more with discernment about what you're doing, about what's going on in your life. Consider, give that much thought, but not much words. Verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many. Now, this feeding, it's a word, the same root here is for the word, if it's a noun, a shepherd. And what it's saying here is the lips, and this is synonymous with speaking, the lips of the righteous, meaning the words of the righteous, shepherd many. They, and shepherding is a word of provision and a word of protection. Very important that you know that. Shepherds provide, but shepherds protect. So the words of the righteous, they are going to shepherd, they are going to provide, they are going to protect many. But then notice what he says. But the foolish ones, they lack a heart, meaning they lack thought, and therefore they will die. Now, what this scripture is telling us is something very significant, and that is this. We are called to reflect more on the things of our life. Don't make, the implication is, and the practical takeaway is this. Don't make quick decisions. Don't respond to something as we say a knee-jerk reaction. But think thoroughly. Think with discernment. Bring the Lord's morality, ethics, and justice into your thoughts so that you arrive at an appropriate, and when I say appropriate, that which is in agreement with the character of God. That's what we're called to do. Now, we all remember there was that expression, what would Yeshua do? Very profound. We need to take the character of our Lord and Savior, which is, of course, the character of God because he is the Son of God. And we need to operate in his character. And when we do that, that is going to provide safety for us. This is what the writer of Proverbs, this book of Proverbs from Solomon, is teaching us. Look now to verse 22. The blessing of the Lord is, and it means, will make you rich. So the blessings of the Lord will make you rich. But here again, don't interpret that simply to dollars and cents, meaning finances. What it simply says is the blessings of the Lord will enrich you. And how so? It will make you a greater servant. It will produce in your life more rewards in the kingdom of God. See, you have people today, and they take this verse and they rip it out of what we've been talking about. This verse comes to us within a chapter where the emphasis of this chapter is living in a way that reflects the character of God, the ethics of God, the morality of God, the justice of God, not how to be wealthy beyond your imagination. But that's what people want to do with this verse. Look at it again, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord is for your enrichment. It will enrich in you. And he will not add, and this word etzev is the word for sadness or sorrow or trouble. He will not add trouble with it. Meaning this, God's blessings are just that. They're his blessings and only his blessings. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, in this world, there's a lot of things that they look like they're blessings. Meaning this, they look good. They seem as we would want to have that. But here's what we need to know. Many times, these so-called good things, they come with strings attached. And what the scripture's telling us here is the blessings of the Lord don't come with anything attached to them. They don't have trouble, that if you receive them, you're also going to receive something that you did not know, that you would not want, that is going to trouble you, that's going to bring to you sorrow. That's not God. God gives good, and he only gives good. What does the scripture say? Every good and precious gift comes down from heaven. That's how God gives. And this is what we're learning here, verse 23. Now, in verse 23, it begins with the word tzchok. And this word is a word of playfulness. I think some Bibles may translate it a game or a sport. And what it's talking about is something that is pleasurable. Just like a child enjoys to play, when they're playing and having a good time, they are happy. So what brings happiness? What brings sport? What brings pleasure and fun into our life? He wants to tell us that. He says, first of all, the fun or the sport for the foolish. What is that? That this one makes, and we have a word zima, which is a word for a scandalous plan. Now, what it's saying is this: for the foolish one, what's a foolish one? One who rejects the instructions of God. One who, and what we learned about this word, and we need to realize that there's a couple different words for being foolish. But when we talk usually about foolishness, whether it's the word kasil or the word evil, either one of those words usually implies one who rejects. Something's being offered, good things are being offered, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, but there's a rejection. Look at verse 23. This is indeed the word kasil, which is, and I've shared this before, knowing something, the example that I gave. You're in the house burning, you smell the smoke. People are saying to you, the house is on fire, you need to get out, but you reject that. And then you reap the consequences of that foolishness. So it says here, as the fun or the sport or the pleasure for the foolish is what? To make these scandalous plans. But it says here, and wisdom is for a man that wants to what? Produce. Wants to what? Excuse me. Wants to be wise, to have understanding. So again, let me get this right. Where it says in verse 23, as a sport or fun or pleasure for the foolish one is the making of an evil, scandalous plan. But wisdom to the man, meaning a wise man, gives, and the ends with understanding. And understanding is the ability to utilize knowledge, to put it into practice, to benefit from what you know. So we see here that the scripture talks about knowledge, it talks about wisdom, and it talks about understanding. Obviously, they're all related, but there are some differences between them. Verse 24. The fear of the wicked, it comes unto him. It's brought unto him. And it says, the desire of righteous one, he will give. Now, we see how God is behaving. We learn in this verse, a very practical one. Look again at verse 24, where it says, the fear of the wicked, what the wicked says, I hope this doesn't happen. This is a great concern that I have. It says, the fear of the wicked, it is brought unto him, but the desire of the righteous ones, he will give, meaning God will give this righteous desire, the desires of righteous ones. Verse 25, as a sufa is a tornado, a whirlwind, a storm, something along those lines. And he says here, A storm, as it passes, what do you find? That storm is going to make the wicked one no more. Meaning this, the trials of life defeat the wicked. That's what the scripture's sharing with us in this verse. The hardships, the trials, the storms of this life basically make the wicked no more. They give up. They move on. But the righteous, notice the difference. The righteous, this one has an everlasting foundation. So we see that, the troubles of life, what happens to the wicked? They're no more. They move on. They give up. They surrender. But we find that the righteous one, what does he do? He has an eternal foundation. He remains. Look now to verse 26. As vinegar is to teeth, and smoke is as to the eyes, thus the lazy one is for those who sent him. Now, what it's talking about here, those who sent him, speaks about someone who is giving orders to send someone on assignment, send someone on a task, give him a task. And the wicked one, or the in this case, the lazy one, doesn't like that. It is as vinegar is to the teeth or smoke is to the eyes. It's an irritation. So the wicked ones, or I should say the lazy one, when he is given an assignment, it's an annoyance to him. He doesn't want to do something. But what we find is that the true wise ones, they are interested in serving God. Look now to the next verse, verse 27. The fear of the Lord adds days. So we have the word tosif. It adds to, it extends. The fear of the Lord extends days. And the life of the wicked will be cut, or the years of the wicked will be cut short. So notice that when we are an individual, pay attention to this verse where it says, the fear of the Lord, putting God as a priority of your life, adds days. It extends the days of one's life. But the years of the wicked, they're going to be cut short. God doesn't tolerate long the wicked. He says in the next verse, verse 28, the hope of righteous ones is glad. Meaning this, that hope, it produces glad feelings. And when I'm talking about this, hope is rooted in the promises of God. So when I hope in the promises of God, that's what I should be hoping in, not the imaginations of my own mind, or what I want, or what my evil inclination wants. That's not hope. Hope is rooted in the promises of God that we find in His Word. They are kingdom promises. And therefore, He says here, look carefully, the hope of righteous ones are glad, makes the person glad. But the hope, it's a different word, but it's a synonym, the hope of wicked ones will what? Perish. Meaning this, when you are not committed to the ethics, the morality, the justice of God, that's what a wicked one is. They're not committed to these things. And there's going to be a temporalness concerning them. They are not going to endure, they're not going to overcome, and they're not going to be part of the kingdom of God. So we see here that the wicked ones, what they hope for, will perish. It will be, literally we could say, it will be destroyed, that hope. They are going to become discouraged, disenchanted, and they're not going to persevere. But we are. Why? Look at verse 29. Strength, it's word ma'oz. Ma'oz is a very significant word for power, strength. And it says here, the strength of the, and the word here has to do, some Bibles say, the ones who are full of integrity. But it's this word that speaks of one depending upon God, trusting in God, one who realizes his inadequacies or her insufficient qualities, and therefore knowing that we're inadequate, knowing that we to ourselves are insufficient for what God wants, what do? Well, we depend, we rely upon him. And that's why it says, the strength of the ones who depend, rely, is a way to the Lord. Meaning this, God calls you to do something and you know that you are not up to that task. So what do? Walk away from it? No. What you do is that you rely upon him. You trust him. You submit to him. You pray to him. You seek his anointing. You seek his provision and power and perspective in order to accomplish it. You don't give up. You persevere. And what's going to be the outcome of that? Look at this. It says, the strength of the tome, meaning the dependent ones, is the way to the Lord. We experience the Lord. But destruction is for the workers of iniquity. And that word aven is a word of wickedness, unrighteousness, iniquity, that which is contrary to the purposes of God, the character of God, and the ways of God. Verse 30. A righteous one forever will not collapse. Now, the word here, and unfortunately, many Bibles translate this word differently, but it's a word that means you won't collapse. You're not going to stumble. You're not going to be brought down. You are going to endure. And that's why it says, look at the verse, verse 30. A righteous one forever does not collapse. But in contrast to that, the wicked will not dwell in the earth. Now, what does that mean? One of the things that he's been teaching throughout this is that the wicked, they don't have that eternal connection. The wicked are temporal. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. Those who trust in God, those who are humble ones, we are going to inherit the earth. What is that speaking about? It's speaking about the millennial kingdom, that we are going to take leadership in this world to administrate the world with Messiah. Who does that? The humble or the meek, most translations give, but it's those who are meek in their own desires, but mighty in the things of God. So it speaks here about how the wicked ones are temporal and they are going to be destroyed. Verse 30 or verse 31. The mouth of the righteous produce wisdom. Now, this word here for produce, it's a word that relates to a tree producing fruit, a flower producing a blossom. It has to do with an outcome. And these things just don't happen by themselves. Qualities have to be met. And therefore, when we are living, behaving, thinking, and speaking righteously, it tells us here that that's going to produce wisdom. But the tongue of the perverse, and the next word is word tikaret, which means will be cut off. I know that many Bibles will say cut out because they want to interpret it in light of the illustration. But the word tikaret, it's simply a word which means to come to an end. Now, that word also appears in a different gender, but the same word, in regard to Messiah. And what it says, the Messiah will be cut off. It means come to an end, but notice that end is temporary. Why? Resurrection. But when it comes to, look carefully, when it comes to the tongue of perverseness, those who speak perversely, it says that tongue is going to be cut off. It's not going to continue in its perverse words. Last verse, verse 32. The lips of the righteous know, and this word here for knowing something is the word ratzon, which is translated desire or will. The word here, ratzon, relates to the desire of God or the will of God. So what's it saying here? Verse 32. The lips of the righteous know, and the implication is know the will of God or knows what God desires. But the mouth of wicked ones, what do they know? They know that same word, that which is perverse, that which is out of order. Now, the word here, and we've talked about this word many times, it's a word, I've shared with you the word in the infinitive form, la foch, to turn upside down, to turn or make inverted. What it is something that is opposite of what it should be. And that's why we translate it perverse, that which is an abomination, that which is not fitting, that which is not appropriate based upon the character of God. So what it says here is that these individuals, let's look at the verse one more time. These individuals that are what? It says, but the mouth of the wicked ones. What is being expressed from their mouth, their words, their speech? That which is perverse, that which is not appropriate, that which is not congruent to the character of God and the will of God. Let me wrap up this time together with one last thought, and that's this. When you are walking and living with the desire to express the character of God, that desire to walk in the character of God is going to bring about you behaving in an appropriate way. Can we say that differently? Yes, we can. You are going to behave in a way that God desires. That's what the first half of this verse points out. We can say it again differently. You're going to behave in accordance with the will of God. And when we are in God's will, we have access to His provision in the fullest sense. We will have access to His provision. We will have access to His perspective. So we'll see things correctly and we'll have the resources in order to act correctly and accomplish the will of God. So when we have a desire to proclaim that which is in agreement with the desire of God, the will of God, it is going to produce a great benefit. Let me say that differently, a great blessing in our life. But when upon our lips are those things that are wicked, those things that are contrary to the character of God, it is going to have a greatly adverse impact, result in our life. So what we see here is that we have to choose. Choose to behave. Choose to think. Choose to speak in light of God's character. When you do that, you're going to experience God's activity, God's presence, and God's provision in the fullest sense in your life. Well, I'll close with that until next week. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.